thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to episode 4 of British Invaders. This is a podcast all about British science fiction television. We are trying a new format where each discussion will be split into 2 episodes, so you get 2 episodes a month instead of 1 big episode each month. So we are now entering the second half of our discussion about Doctor Who. This is the classic series of Doctor Who that ran from 1963 to 1989. This is Brian from Canada speaking.
And this is Xander from England back again. One key feature of Doctor Who, apart from the Doctors and the Companions, which we already discussed, of course, is the villains who the Doctor came up against. And as we mentioned last week, the first major villain that the Doctor ran into was the Daleks in the second story. And these were a race of creatures, but who had been involved in a nuclear war and had become mutated. They originally were humanoids, but they became mutated so much that they had to drive around in robot-like bodies. These robots were a very clever bit of design by the creator of them, which basically didn't look much like anything you'd seen on science fiction, television or movies before or since. They were a bit like a human-sized tank with a turret on top and a gun and an eye stalk. But as I said, they do nothing like anything people have seen before. And certainly with the British public, they caught on immediately. And they were really the thing that made Doctor Who as popular as it was in the beginning. And it really took off from there. And of course, because these foes were so popular, they were brought back on many an occasion. I think all the Doctors encountered the Daleks at least once, and some of them many times. In fact, in the first story about the Daleks, they did appear to be killed off, but of course that was got around.
There were a couple of points in the series where they apparently destroyed the Daleks, but they always came back and were a hallmark of the series that lasted for many years and were basically there as long as Doctor Who was there. They were initially remarked upon as being different because they rolled around on wheels that you couldn't see, and most monsters and villains and things that you had before then all walked around like people, so you had, you know, and had legs. The Daleks were very inhuman.
They didn't really look like a man in a suit. They looked like something else.
As Doctor Who progressed, and we mentioned that at the end of the 60s, the Time Lords, the race that the Doctor came from, were introduced. In the 70s, they were able to introduce other Time Lords with more of a background about who the Time Lords were. In the early 70s, the Master was first introduced. And the Master was another Time Lord who was in many ways on equal footing with the Doctor. He had the same knowledge, he had the same abilities as the Doctor. But the Master, through and through, was evil and very nasty. He became the Master villain. He became the Professor Moriarty from Sherlock Holmes type character, where he was always evil and up to no good, and in many ways had something in common with the Doctor. He was another renegade Time Lord. So he was, in some ways, the closest person the Doctor had to himself.
The Master was originally the main foe of the John Pertwee Doctor, and quite a large number of the plots that the Doctor came up against, it turned out that the Master was actually the mastermind behind them, excuse the pun. And the actor that played the Master actually died towards the end, I think, John Pertwee's reign. And the Master didn't appear for a long time, but in fact he was brought back eventually in the early 80s. And much like the Doctor, they brought in another actor to play the same role. The way he regenerated was actually a slightly different way than the way the Doctor regenerated, but that was basically using a similar concept. And he was also a feature of the TV movie as well, again played by a different actor. The Cybermen were a 60s foe that did encounter William Hartnell in his last story. And these were human or humanoid people or creatures that had replaced almost all of their bodies with robotic parts, hence the name Cybermen. These foes were probably second only to the Daleks in the way that they were brought back again and again as a foe to the Doctor. More than the Daleks, they actually did change the way they appeared over the years because they were a humanoid foe. I think the way they could be represented was improved over the years, and the styling of their suits was updated to match the sort of times, and also the ability of the artists to make better costumes for them. But as I said, they were a major foe and were brought back time and time again.
They were very ominous, and the Cybermen were humanoid but entirely silver in appearance, with a fixed mouth and eyes that never moved. So they had their own combination of appearing human and not human, which was kind of ominous and used often to very good effect.
Yeah.
I am the master. You will listen to me, and you will obey me. You will obey me.
As listeners may know, Doctor Who was relaunched with great fanfare in the UK in 2005. Basically, it had not been on our screen since the one-off TV movie in 1996, so it was almost 10 years later. Basically, it had very little connection with the previous production team because the people had moved on, people had retired, new producers, new actors, and it was actually being made by BBC Wales, which are sort of a part of the BBC, obviously based in Cardiff. So whereas the old original Doctor Who was being made basically by the BBC drama department in London. The new actor was Christopher Eccleston, who played the Doctor, and he had a companion, Rose, played by Billy Piper. One thing to point out is that the format was changed for the new Doctor Who. The original Doctor Who, apart from a very short run, had always been a approximately half-hour episode format, and a story or adventure would run over a number of episodes. Most of the stories, I guess, were four episodes, but there were some which were two, and there were some which were longer, I think six or eight episodes as well. But the normal format was four episodes, whereas the new Doctor Who was 45-minute episodes, and most of the stories were wrapped up in one episode, although they have had some two-parters.
When the new Doctor Who was launched, it had been 16 years since 1989, since the BBC had made any Doctor Who. So in many ways, they were starting from scratch and building something new, but they followed on with the elements from the original series in quite a faithful way, so it was a good continuation as well as a relaunch.
The main writer and executive producer, Russell T. Davies, was basically a fan of Doctor Who when he was a child, and I think most of the people who are involved in it are fans, and he basically stated that it is definitely a continuation, not a remake, so that the Chris Eccleston Doctor is the Ninth Doctor and Paul McGann's Doctor was the Eighth Doctor, and so one is the regeneration of the other, although you don't actually see the regeneration on screen. And so they, I think deliberately and probably sensibly, they've cut back on, at least initially, on the sort of deep references to the continuity of the old series, but it obviously is continuous with the old series, and there are odd hints and things dropped for the fans that will recognise things that came from the original series. Another more recent spin-off on Doctor Who, basically building on the huge success that the new Doctor Who series did, is that the same production team producing a spin-off show called Torchwood, which is featuring one of the companions of the Doctor, Captain Jack Harkness. And this is a late night, at least in the UK, late night show aimed basically at an adult audience, whereas the new Doctor Who is still basically a family show aimed at children and adults.
Torchwood is based on Earth without any time travel, and it's a very different show that does not have that much in common with Doctor Who, but is based on Doctor Who and does have some overlapping things with it. And it's an entertaining show. It has its own continuation from certain things in Doctor Who in it.
Yeah, it's set in the same story or same universe as Doctor Who, but it was sort of set up as a spin-off, and there is going to be some crossover as well in the future with Doctor Who. Another thing that's just, soon about to be launched, there was a pilot episode shown over the Christmas period 2006-2007 of a new show called Sarah Jane Adventures, which basically picks up on Sarah Jane Smith, who was a companion to the Doctor in the original classic series. And she actually came back to join the Doctor in the second series of the new Doctor Who. This series numbering gets a bit confusing. I think she did so well and was still well-liked by people that they've decided to spin her off in this show called Sarah Jane Adventures. And this is definitely a kids' show. It will be shown on a BBC's kids' channel in the UK. But it, again, is definitely set in the same universe as Doctor Who.
It's interesting to see how Sarah Jane Smith has overlapped between different shows, and that she went from the original Doctor Who to the new Doctor Who, and now has a spin-off series of her own.
Of course, the interesting thing was that actually she featured in another spin-off, which people may not have heard of. Back in 1981, the BBC produced a pilot for a spin-off series starring Sarah Jane and the robot dog K9, who we haven't discussed earlier, called K9 and Company. I think this pilot did reasonably well in the UK, but didn't do well enough or wasn't seen as good enough to carry on as a series. So it basically happened and never went anywhere. So it's slightly ironic now that the same character is being brought back for a spin-off now, so many years later.
I think some of the staff changed over at the BBC after K9 and Company was first aired. They aired this one episode, which was quite successful as a Christmas special. By the time they were talking about doing a full season of it, the executive who had approved the pilot of K9 and Company, or the original special, was no longer there, and his replacement was not a fan of the idea of K9 and Company or of the actual show K9 and Company. So that was shelved at that point. Sarah Jane Smith was a companion to the John Pertwee and Tom Baker Doctors in the mid-70s. And she was, for many years, the fan favorite of all the companions. And they actually wanted to reintroduce her into Doctor Who in the beginning of the 80s. And this wasn't going to happen because the actress Elizabeth Sladen was not interested in returning to exactly the same part doing the same thing. Instead, this idea of a spin-off for her was introduced, and the special for K9 and Company was made, and now Sarah Jane Smith has turned up in these other shows. So it's interesting to see how she has crossed over between so many of the Doctor Who related programs.
Yeah.
In addition to these TV series spin-offs that have happened from Doctor Who, there are also some radio and audio series that have happened. There are some BBC radio dramas, and a company called Big Finish has also made some audio dramas that are sold on CDs. There is a difference here between the UK and the United States and many other places, because there is a strong tradition of radio dramas and audio dramas that is still current in the UK, while in the US and other places you have a lot of old radio dramas. They sort of disappeared along the way. And there have been a number of Doctor Who individual stories and full seasons of different kinds of spin-off shows that they've done. They've included a number of actors from the original series, including four different actors for the Doctor, numbers 5 through 8. They are all doing things concurrently. There are still new Peter Davison Fifth Doctor serials being released in audio format, and 6th and 7th and 8th Doctor serials being released. And for many Doctor Who fans who didn't like the TV movie with Paul McGann, the American movie, the Big Finish CDs and the BBC radio dramas redeemed Paul McGann, because he came back in a more BBC-like or actually BBC-based audio drama as the Eighth Doctor. they've gone to some new and different kinds of things with some of these serials. They have done, and series as well, they've done some episodes that do not involve the Doctor, but involve other Doctor Who characters. They've worked with all of these different actors for the Doctor. They've also worked with most of the companions from the same period of time and have done a variety of different things. They've done things like a series that involves two of the companions, that involves Leela and Romana, but does not involve any of the Doctors, and it's set on Gallifrey, on the Doctor's home planet. So they've done lots of different types of things with those audio dramas.
One thing to point out is that some of these BBC radio dramas were actually produced during the original run of the classic series of Doctor Who for BBC Radio, and obviously now since they've been released on CD. The Big Finish audio dramas, which are an official licensed product from the BBC but produced independently, were definitely a sort of fill-in for lots of the fans while the Doctor Who wasn't being produced on TV. That was the only way they could get anything new, official Doctor Who. So that's really where they took off. But they have carried on. They're still making them now, even though Doctor Who is back on our screens. The other main spin-off is novelizations and novels. The original TV serials, I think almost every serial now has had a official novelization that was basically produced as a kid's book. They had line drawing illustrations, and I think the style and the length of the novelizations was basically written for kids. I think they were very popular back in the time when they first came out. And the other thing that happened in the 1980s was that there were spin-off original novels produced. There were some which were produced starring the original Doctors and were fill-in episodes between the existing adventures. And the other thing that happened was that were adventures featuring companions and other things beyond what was in the original TV programs.
There have been original novels with every Doctor and probably almost every companion with the Doctor and some of them on their own. So they have done a lot with that space of things, including they introduced a new character in some of the novels. The character was a new companion called Bernice Summerfield, and she was meant to be a companion who traveled with the Seventh Doctor after the classic series finished. And she was very popular, and they made some novels, and in fact, Big Finish audio dramas as well, featuring Bernice Summerfield, that did not have the Doctor involved with them.
One thing to point out about those visualizations of the TV series, in the days when Doctor Who started, most of the time it was on home video recording, didn't exist, and video recordings didn't exist. So the only way to sort of revisit your favourite stories of the Doctor was to get the novelizations. There wasn't any other format in which to get them, so I'm sure that was part of their popularity.
That's right. And speaking of ways to see the shows that you missed, or to catch up on what happened in the shows you missed, there were also two theatrical movies of Doctor Who made in the mid-60s. They featured Peter Cushing as the Doctor, who was not associated with Doctor Who in any way other than those two movies. And both of them involved the Daleks. In the 60s in Great Britain, there was a kind of Dalek mania where the Daleks were very popular and there was all kinds of merchandising for the Daleks. And in with that, they made these two movies. There was Doctor Who and the Daleks in 1965, and Daleks Invasion Earth 2150 AD, which came out in 1966. And both of those were based on William Hartnell serials that had, not long before that, had aired on the BBC. The first one was based on the Daleks, the second was based on the Dalek Invasion of Earth. Those had a very different feel as compared to Doctor Who. The Doctor in those serials was not alien at all. He was, in fact, an eccentric human who had somehow created this time machine, the TARDIS. The characters, the acting, the whole thing had a very different feel, and in my opinion, really didn't measure up to the original serials they were based on. They didn't quite have the same measure of acting and writing in them. They were more intended to be for children as opposed to adults and children. I think they served their purpose. They were a sort of Saturday afternoon matinee type of film for people who had missed the original serials or wanted to see something of it again. And it was a different take on things.
Yeah, I haven't seen these films since I was a kid, and I think I certainly enjoyed them as a child, but I think Brian's right, is that they definitely were catering for children, so I guess that's why I like them, and they probably don't stand up that well, and probably don't stand up as well as the original the TV episodes that they are based on.
If you are curious, they are indeed available on DVD, and the serial, the original William Hartnell serial that the first one was based on, is also available on DVD. So feel free to do that comparison and tell us what you think.
In fact, the other story is available on DVD as well.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Seb.
We host the UK's largest Doctor Who and Torchwood podcast, the DWO WhoCast.
It's a weekly show where we talk about all the Doctor Who and Torchwood related news and reviews.
And we have exclusive behind the scenes interviews with cast and crew.
So, if you're looking for a podcast where you're as much a part of the experience as the hosts,
then why not try out the DWO WhoCast at www.thewhocast.com or www.drwho-online.co.uk.
The DWO WhoCast. The Doctor Who and Torchwood podcast.
Now, we've mentioned that Doctor Who was brought back in a new series that is a continuation of the original series. One wonders what they did with it. How is it? What have they changed with it? Well, they did change some things. They left a lot in a very consistent way with the original series, but they did change some things. One of the obvious things was that it is no longer serialized. We have mentioned that the original series was in these 25-minute episodes that would always have cliffhangers at the end of them. They would build these serials that would be 4 episodes long or 6 episodes long. In the 60s, they went up to 12 episodes at one point. They would do all sorts of things with that. In the new series, they did not go with that concept. It's with the 45-minute episodes, and they are usually singles. Each season, they do a few two-parters, but it's not serialized, and partially because of that, it becomes a much faster show, because to get a story into 45 minutes, or to get a bigger story into 90 minutes, they have to have a faster-paced show. And it makes it a little less whimsical than the classic series was. In the classic series, you would have a little bit of comedy here and there sometimes, or a little bit of, at one point, almost travelogue of the Doctor and his companion running through Paris and various things like that. There would be a little bit of this and that here and there. And the new show is more streamlined. It goes more straight through and misses some of those little odds and ends. Which is, of course, both a good thing and a bad thing. I think it works a little better now. Another change is that the Doctor is less proactive in some ways. There are more shows now in the new series where the Doctor does not come in and solve everything. He comes in and sort of opens the door and lets someone else solve the problem. Or in one or two cases, his companion does as much as or more as he did to solve whatever problem is the crux of the episode. So there's less of a proactive aspect to the Doctor's character. In the classic series, he was always in there solving whatever had to be solved.
The other key thing is that the companion is very much a co-star, a character that's carrying the story, much more of the story, and is a major part rather than just sort of the hanger-on that gets into scrapes and has to be rescued by the Doctor, even more so than when the series finished in the 1980s. And the other thing is that there is certainly hints or more expressions of romance or potential romance between the Doctor and his companion, who so far has been mostly female. And the Doctor again treats the companion more as a equal, or more someone who can help and take part in his adventures. And the other thing that's been very different from the original classic series is that the companion's family has been involved, and you know, these people aren't just grabbed off and taken off by the Doctor on adventures with no consequences. That seemed to be what happened in the original classic series. That when these people disappear off of this strange man, as far as the family are concerned, that has consequences, which is a big change from the original series. Personally, I do enjoy the new series. It is very different from the old classic series. I think sometimes the writing lets it down. There are some poor episodes. I wouldn't say it's universally brilliant, but again, you could say that of the original series. It is very different in style, but I think overall it stands up, and all the main changes that they made are sensible, and basically do match the way TV is made now and what the modern audiences expect. You don't need to have the long exposition of time, and I think there's no way it could have been brought back the same as it was before, and I think most of the changes are sensible and welcome.
I would tend to agree with that. I think there is definitely a lot of the original series in the new series. A lot of the stories they've done have a feel of something that could have been in the classic series. And the changes they've made fit into the evolution and adaptation of Doctor Who through the years to the time. So I think, while there have been ups and downs, on the whole, I think they've done very well with the new series.
The other thing I've noticed, especially recently, is that initially, I think, sensibly, they tried to cut right back on the amount of sort of in references they had to deep continuity of the original series, but they're definitely beginning to bring it back.
Unless this old body of mine is wearing a bit thin.
What do you mean, wearing a bit thin?
Oh, don't worry, child, don't worry. It's far from being all over.
Of mine is wearing a bit thin.
So he gets himself a new one?
It's over. What are we going to do?
It is the Doctor, I know it is. I think.
It's not only his face that's changed, he doesn't even act like him.
There are a lot of Doctor Who serials that are out on DVD, not in full seasons, except for the new series, but the classic series, a number of serials have been released, and there are quite a few now. So let's just take a couple minutes to recommend a few that are worth renting or worth buying. There is a DVD release of The City of Death, which was done very well, and there is also a release called New Beginnings, which covers the last couple of Tom Baker serials and the first serial with the fifth Doctor, Peter Davison.
If you want to go right back to the beginning, there's a box set called The Beginning, surprisingly enough, which has the pilot episode and the first serial, which is the one with the cavemen, and The Daleks, which is probably the most famous one on that set, and then another small story called The Edge of Destruction. And it also features an audio version of the Marco Polo story, which carried on, which is unfortunately has been lost as far as the pictures as goes. I think on that set, the Daleks is the one that stands out the most, and the first episode of the first story, because it all sets everything up, is also interesting.
That DVD set also has the unused pilot version of the original of the first episode, which they actually did the first episode and then went back and filmed it again. The unused one became classified as a pilot, although it wasn't intended that way originally. And it's quite different. It's interesting to see. There are also a couple of early Cybermen stories from the Patrick Troughton era that have been released. One is Tomb of the Cybermen, which was classic for being scary and a good show. And the other is The Invasion, which featured one of the first appearances of the Brigadier and the first appearance of UNIT. That was one where a couple of the episodes, it was 8 episodes long, and 2 of those episodes were lost, and only audio versions exist. They actually animated versions with the original audio to fill those in. And it's quite a good story with the Cybermen and a good human villain in it, so that's also well worth watching.
Yeah. A good Dalek story to recommend is the Genesis of the Daleks, which is a Tom Baker story, which, not surprisingly, talks about the beginnings of the Daleks and the mastermind who was behind the creation of the Daleks called Davros. It's got rather heavy the Nazi sort of parallels in the story, but it is a good heavy story, and I think it's also quite dark, which is a bit different from some of the other Doctor Who stories.
Going into the 1980s stories, there is a DVD release of The Caves of Androzani, which was the last serial for Peter Davison, the Fifth Doctor. It is just a very well-written, well-set-up story that has a villain that is actually one of my favorite villains, even though he only showed up once.
And all these DVDs, they are very well made. They do absolutely their best to A, reproduce the pictures and the sound and everything as best possible quality. And also they have very interesting extra features like documentaries about the making of the program, and often have cast or crew commentaries on the episodes. So as well as getting them for the story, they're actually, a lot of the background stuff is quite interesting if you're into that sort of stuff.
In summary, the classic Doctor Who series was a long-running series that lasted 26 seasons from 1963 to 1989. It was about a renegade Time Lord known only as the Doctor, who would travel through time and space, having all sorts of adventures and solving problems. And he would travel in a time machine called the TARDIS that was bigger on the inside than the outside and looked like an old-style British police box. And he traveled with one or more traveling companions who were sometimes human and sometimes alien. As far as recommending Doctor Who, well, Doctor Who is a classic. It is the 800-megaton gorilla that stands over all of British science fiction. It's huge. It is definitely worth watching some Doctor Who. What you choose to watch, well, there are lots of choices out there. If you have the opportunity to watch it beginning to end, I think that's a great experience. You get to see all kinds of things along the way. If not, try out some of the DVD releases. There is some good stuff there.
Yeah, I think Doctor Who is the ultimate format, so because you can go anywhere, anytime, to any style of the story. It can have detective stories, it has horror stories, it has classic science fiction type stories, and there's something of everything in there. I guess if you haven't seen any of it, then the new series is maybe more like what people are used to these days, maybe a way of getting into it and then go back to the old stuff. But I think a lot of the old stuff stands up on its own as well. So I'd say jump in straight, feet first, and see what you like.
Sounds good. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We are interested in all of your questions, comments, feedback of any kind. We are trying this new split format of doing our discussion in 2 different episodes, so you get 2 episodes each month. Tell us if you like it. Tell us if you don't. We can decide if we want to keep it or not. Our next episode will cover Box of Delights, which was a fantasy miniseries from the 1980s.
Featuring Patrick Jordan.
That's right. Thank you for listening to British Invaders. And this is Brian from Canada signing off. Bye.
And this is Xander from England signing off. I hope you enjoyed our discussion.